Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. But this is something you're going to hear me say every day, too, because I want to make sure to acknowledge friends who tune in. Maybe you stumble on the dial by accident and you have no faith to speak of. I want you to know, I'm so glad that you're listening. And I really believe God has you here today. I just believe you're going to find a message of encouragement, and you'll be reminded that you're someone that God loves deeply. And I want you to know, every month we have a good friend who joins us on the show. We call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And we're here today with Dr. Troy Spurl, and he's answering health questions. And he's a man of faith and a man of science. And to see the amazing integration of trusting God to give us wisdom and then us cooperating with him, making tweaks in our health that can make all the difference in the world. There's our part, there's God's part. And I know Dr. Troy really believes that. We're answering lots of amazing questions. And he said off the air, so many of these questions are so thoughtful and they're also diverse. So we sure appreciate you just really giving thought to your health. The phone lines are open, but we're going to tackle a couple of calls that came in that left their question on the board. They didn't want to be on the air, and a few emails as well. So if you don't mind holding for a couple minutes, you can be next in line, 877-933-2484. So this dear listener, excuse me, I'm still dealing with this cough. Okay, she says, I so appreciate your medical wisdom, Dr. Troy, and listen as often as I'm available. She said, it just came through a kidney stone episode. Needed to have two large stones blasted. Stones were 100% uric acid. Tests showed that I don't have gout. Doctor wants me to give me a prescription to make my pH more alkaline for prevention of further stones. What do you suggest? I'm 67. I've been on blood pressure medication for quite a few years. What do you say?
This is a perfect example of someone with insulin resistance.
Wow.
And so usually what we see is insulin resistance is driving up the uric acid and the blood pressure. So without knowing more about the lab work, I would guess that we are dealing with an insulin resistant type scenario here. So if your HDL cholesterol is low, meaning below 50, if your LDL cholesterol is over 120, if your total cholesterol is over 200, then those are also some signs of insulin resistance. If your triglycerides are higher than 100, then we're really thinking that there is the insulin resistance is driving this. And so by fixing and helping the insulin resistance, you actually will help decrease the amount of uric acid that is actually being made by the liver. So I do like this is not necessarily a pH problem, although an alkaline diet is very, very helpful, but even more importantly is a low glycemic insulin balancing diet and insulin supporting nutrition. That's how I would move on this one. And watch the cholesterol. Sometimes you have to use even under the guidance of the prescribing doctor, some natural statins like red rice yeast extract to get the cholesterol in check and to balance the insulin out. And a lot of times when we get into our 60s, the insulin and cortisol, they start battling. They're opposing hormones. So that does have to be looked at and addressed. And usually some level of exercise is needed to help with insulin resistance. Physical weight-bearing exercise, whether it be pool therapy or even some active workout in the weight room, depending on history, is needed. So insulin resistance is usually the one that slips through the cracks on this one. And so they'll know because their blood sugar will also be high and hemoglobin A1C will be trending above 5.8%.
He just throws that out there just like that. Kind of impressive, I got to say. 877-933-2484. Hey, I know this. A gram of fat is 9 calories, where carbohydrates are 4. That in. Nobody's calling me, telling me how impressed they are. 877. So it would be carbs and proteins are 4, fats are 9, right?
That's right.
He doesn't want to correct me on the air. I think it's right, but we'll talk later. 877-933-2484. We've got Vicki checking in from Brooklyn Park with a question regarding her son and tetanus shots, looks like. Hey, Vicki, you're on the air.
Hello, Dr. Troy and Susie.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, I have a son that's 24. He went in for a well checkup the other day. Very healthy, but he refuses to get a tetanus shot. What are the risks? Is it necessary? He's had all of his immunizations all his life.
That's a bit of a loaded question right now, and there's a bit of a – there's not really a controversy. There's two sides to this conversation, so I'll talk about both sides. Generally speaking, there's low risk with getting it. So we know right now that about 14% of the population will have an adverse reaction to the shot. The younger you are, the more likely there'll be an adverse reaction.
Or if you have compromised immunity.
Or if you're, I was supposed to say that.
Thank you. I got to interject sometime.
Or if you have compromised immune system, then that's the other time where it can be a little bit of a problem. So we have these two sides of the conversation, and we have people that are looking to boost their immune system and work on things that actively help their immune system. Now, these immunizations are, the theory is very sound behind them. It's just the same as homeopathy. You give a denatured, attenuated virus, meaning a weakened virus, and your immune system creates antibodies to help protect you for in case you ever get exposed to it in the future. That's awesome. In my books, that's just smart. However, what's happening is we have a bunch of adverse reactions, especially in younger kids with underdeveloped immune systems. And in the medical community, the argument is we're supposed to first do no harm. And so we need to be testing to make sure there's not going to be any harm done by giving these shots. And right now we don't do that test. And so there are people who are choosing not to do it. If you are given a shot and your immune system is incapable of responding to it properly, then that's when we start to see some problems and some challenges that start to arise. So we have people that are choosing not to do it and people that are doing it, and most of them are fine, and some of them are having adverse reactions. So either way right now, no one knows. There's absolutely no way to know right now because they don't do the testing. So I've always said for the last couple of years, I've said we need to do more studies and research on the pure volume of shots that we're giving and the safety and efficacy of that. And we need to be testing people to make sure their immune system is in a good state, because we need to do more research on the people who are having adverse reactions and say, why did this happen? We need to be digging
reasonable.
Into that more. It's reasonable.
And it's such a controversial topic.
It is.
You know, but that's a very reasonable perspective. Excuse me, 877-933-2484. Courtney's checking in. Not sure what city she's from, but glad to have you, Courtney. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you.
Yes. What you got for Dr. Troy today?
My mom has irritable bowel, and she just went through a colonoscopy. And as far as they can tell, everything looks fine. He took samples and stuff, and nothing showed up that was wrong. And so, but she's having a lot of problems with, like, constipation and stuff. And she's very healthy. She's in her 70s, but she used to have a little bit higher cholesterol and stuff, and through diet and exercise, she's gotten it. She's very big and natural. Through diet and exercise, she's gotten it down and stuff, but we're still trying to figure out. We think what set it off is she had, let's say it was a virus, and she had to take some antibiotics, and it messed up her system, but it's taken a really long time to get back to normal. So just wanted to get any suggestions.
Yeah, so it sounds like she's doing pretty well. When it comes to the constipation side of it, if it is post-antibiotic, the best thing you can do, the first thing is to start with magnesium. As we get into our 60s and 70s, we become more and more deficient. Magnesium is used in over 400 different enzymes in the body.
Wow.
So it's one of the most depleted minerals. So just taking a little bit of extra magnesium, starting with 100 milligrams of a magnesium glycinate, something like that, and starting to build up, and just until you get loose stools, and that'll help with moving things along. After that, then it's important to really get the good bacteria and probiotics in there. If she's health conscious, she might have started probiotics already, but the key really is the magnesium. So if you can get the magnesium in there and just help things get moving along, then add the probiotics, then that'll help a little bit with the IBS. Otherwise, when things stay there at 70, the lining of the digestive system becomes much, much more thin, and you start reabsorbing the toxins, and so you get this this auto-intoxication problem. And then the last thing is, even though a virus may have started it, or the antibiotics, that's a different story. I won't go into antibiotics for viruses, but stress is something you still have to watch. So at any point when the bowels are a little bit more sensitive because of the compromise, just a little bit of extra worrying or stress can also play a role with IBS. But usually we see that more with the loose bowels. With this scenario, I would start with the magnesium, then the probiotics, and just see if that helps.
And a clean magnesium, right?
Clean
magnesium. Do you have a suggestion there?
Well, I like using Metagenics magnesium from magnesium glycinate, and that works really well. The magnesium citrate at times as well.
Thanks for that. Thanks for the call. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we still have to tackle the question about ringing in the ears. Welcome to my world. My ears ring so loud, and it's pretty bad. But, you know, when I go to heaven, this will not be going on anymore.
Absolutely
not. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
Yes. But this particular caller wants to know, is there anything we can do about it? What is it from? And we've got a few other callers who called in, didn't want to be on the air, but left their questions. And we got some emails. So we're swamped. But we'd still love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. You're having a really, really great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Every month, we have our good friend Dr. Troy in studio. We call it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And we always, always have more questions than we have time, but we're going to do our best to answer as many of these questions as we can. So this caller wanted to know, what are the causes of ringing in the ear? What can be done to treat it?
Well, as far as causes, there's a lot of different scenarios that can happen. So we have these cells in our ear called hair cells, and anytime we get like fluid or motion going back and forth on them, then we start to hear things. That's how we hear. So whenever they become close to threshold, then we can start to get this ringing in the ear. And so the reality is the problem can be anywhere from the ear hair cell itself all the way up to the area of the brain that detects that pitch for ringing in the ear.
Oh my
word.
It
can be a problem anywhere along that pathway.
Wow.
So the most common are in the ear, and we have certain reflexes. Strangely enough, one of the ones that is a quick and easy fix is people have had intestinal problems and around the ileocecal valve. If there's a spasm around the appendix area, getting rid of that spasm can help reduce ear ringing. It has to do with more of what's called a viscerosomatic reflex, where the muscle is pulling quite a bit more on the right side of the head, and that increased tension is causing a change in the pressure inside the head, and that's enough to induce the ear ringing. Mm. That's a physical component. If the head is rotated, like I said, a physical problem, you can get the ear ringing, and we see that with football players and other people that even hit their heads. One of the things I find the most is CoQ10 deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have ear ringing and your male side of the family, father, grandfather, have had heart disease in the past, then CoQ10 deficiency, heart disease or a muscle problem, then it could be CoQ10 deficiency.
Wow.
And then another one is just making sure there's no hidden infections, like Marcon's can cause it and other scenarios where you have fungal components inside the nasal passages or in the sinuses. So making sure the sinuses are clear and clean is a big part of it as well. Anything that can affect head pressure can induce that.
It's better if I look away. I'm trying to talk to him like, really? Oh, my goodness. But he's trying to answer your question, so I should let him just do his job here. 877-933-2484. So a caller commented they would like to know the name location of Dr. Troy's office again. So check it out. Google Synapse Center for Health and Healing, Eagan, Minnesota, EAGAN. I would love to know the patient who traveled the farthest to see you from Europe, I think.
Yeah, we had one today from Napa Valley.
Wow.
So in from Napa Valley. We have India. I've had a patient from India. We had we treated the producer for the band U2. I think there's many of them, so I'm okay to say that, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think this because if you're coming from Fargo, it's, you know, I know it's a jaunt, but it's not India, right?
Yeah, right?
You can make the trek. It's totally worth it. So, okay, Julie checks in from Minneapolis. Kidney stones led to calcium oxalate, low animal protein diet. Friend told me vegan would keep from producing stones at all. Is that true?
Yes, it is potentially true. So this is interesting. So we have had two calls, both with kidney stones. Mm-hmm. One was uric acid, and that's more insulin and blood sugar relation. If you did vegan on that one, it would make it worse.
Interesting.
If you ate sugar with it, it's got to be a balanced insulin. On this one, kidney stones, and because of the formation of the kidney stones, it's all about the pH. So it's all about the acid and alkaline. And alkaline, if you eat vegan, you have to do vegan with no sugar. You can't be doing the sugar and the sweets. That's the biggest problem that you run into with vegan is you can't do the inflammatory food. So the greens and the veggies that come with vegan are very, very good for this scenario. So absolutely, if you did a proper good vegan with low inflammatory foods, which really just means sugar and watch your grains, then it's possible. If you have a significant gluten sensitivity and you do vegan and you're eating, taking in gluten, then that could cause an inflammatory reaction and everything's off the table. So it's all about measuring your pH, which you can do at home. You can get pH strips and measure your saliva and urine at home. And, as you should have an acidic first morning urine, but as the day goes on, it should become more alkaline, depending on what your diet and your level of activity will influence that as well. But that has the potential of actually changing it.
And you said last time we did a live broadcast, which was a blast when we have like 70 of you come in for a live studio audience, you said some of your healthiest patients are vegan and some of your sickest patients are vegan. I need
absolutely.
You to speak to that just because I heard the gasp in the room. I think people were surprised by that.
Yeah, you really have to know who you are. And so generally speaking, as a society, we do not eat enough vegan-like foods, not enough of the greens. However, we have so much other junk food out there. If you eat vegan and you just stick a lot with the sugar and the carbs, then you could be in more trouble because you can become protein deficient, but it's also very, very inflammatory and you're not getting the energy and reserves you need. So, like I said, my healthiest patients are vegans and my most unhealthy patients that come in for help are vegans.
And would the unhealthy ones be...
sugar
because
addicts.
They're not doing it right, right?
Yes,
interesting, because it's like, I'm not doing that. I can compensate over here.
Yes,
interesting.
Yep.
Okay, we're coming towards the bottom of the hour here. This dear caller called in the beginning. I want to make sure we get this answered before you head for the airport. Has serious but still undiagnosed health issues, has fainted or blacked out many times, has been to Mayo. They don't have any concrete answers. What else can she do?
Well, usually when we black out, that's because there's not enough blood flow going to the area. And if they went to Mayo, Mayo is very, very good at diagnosing problems with the sympathetic nervous system. I've sent many patients there to get some extra testing done. And so they would pick up on that. So that's interesting to me. So this is there's not quite enough information there when it comes to what could be causing that. But we have this response. I'm going to throw out some unique cases I've had in the past. We have this response in the brainstem that regulates the blood pressure to our head. So if we certain things can affect that. And we've seen this with people with ankle injuries. They have an ankle injury and they don't know it. And the problem's really in their ankle and they're walking around on a bad ankle and it causes an orthostatic change in the blood pressure.
Unbelievable.
And so this actually happened to me once when I was playing basketball, and I sprained my ankle so severely, and I was trying to be Mr. Tough Guy and walk it off. And, you know, you don't look so tough when you take two steps and then just fall.
Bam.
So I just fell right over.
Wow.
And it was one of those scenarios where the blood just didn't rush to my head because of what was happening elsewhere in the body. So you have to look at, has there been any serious injury somewhere else in the body that's significant? Because even if it was a severe muscle strain, that's actually influenced this area of the brainstem in certain people. It's very, very unusual and highly doubtful, but it's something to just think about based on the information I had. Also, we have change in that in temperature can also affect it. Have you ever had a brain freeze where you have like something? Well, that basically can happen as well, but it doesn't feel like the coldness of the brain freeze, but actually a drop in blood pressure. So checking to see if it happens after we eat, during when we eat, there's clues there that we don't have yet that we need to assess, but there can be a problem there with a tooth infection that can cause it, or a problem in a dental problem where the jaw is not aligned properly. So there are different factors here. I would need more information to ultimately give an exact answer, but my point is there can be some level of dysfunction somewhere else in the body that's causing this feedback to the brainstem that's ultimately setting up the blacking out or the fainting. And there's this process. It's called amaurosis fugax that happens where people almost feel like this veil, this black veil coming down over them, and they just kind of pass out or roll over. And so you have to identify the different areas that might be triggering it. And it could be anywhere in the body. We've seen it mostly with the feet, ankles, and then the head, neck, and jaw.
So I want to see if I can grab this anonymous caller. And we're going to hard break here, so he may just have time to get the question out. And I'll just kind of give you a sense of what you have time-wise. You may have to catch it on the other side. So
okay.
Got an anonymous friend checking in with a question today. Hey, you're on the air. Are you there? Oh,
hello?
I thought it was anonymous. Jolie? Okay. So, hey there, you're on the air with Dr. Troy. I want you to know we have a hard break coming in a little over a minute, so if you want to get your question out, and he may have to answer it on the other side, but we'll just do our best.
All right, my question is, my son was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis and was told that diet does not make a difference. Is there anything we can do with diet to help with this, and any chance he could ever get off medication?
You got about a minute if you want, Dr. Troy.
Yes, so we have worked with different doctors to help with some of their patients who are wanting to get off medication, and we have had success with that. It can be very, very challenging, and there are a lot of different factors. But the answer is yes. There is no definitive recipe for that right now. I will say that stress is a big, big part of it, so we want to make sure that stress becomes addressed. We want to make sure that any hidden infection in the intestinal tract is addressed, and rebuilding of the lining is very, very important. It's a little different with each and every patient that comes through, but it absolutely can be corrected and helped. We've seen it many times.
And if you have more you want to say about that, Doc, we can cover that on the other side. We've got about 10 more minutes of Dr. Troy in the studio, and then we're hoping and praying we can catch him in the car. It's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy today on Live the Promise. Don't go away. We'll answer your questions on either side. You know what? This is really good news. You get to be a work in progress without the condemnation. We're all unfinished. We're all works in progress. But I do believe with all my heart that God has something more for each and every one of us, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. So maybe we just never settle for status quo. Maybe we get hungry and thirsty for more and then do what God tells us to do and then be expectant about what he might do. Really glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. And we have just a deeper life show. We love having deeper life conversations. Something that we do that has just become one of the favorites of our listeners is we have our good friend Dr. Troy Spurl in studio every month to answer your health and healing questions. It's just been awesome. He's got to hop in the car and catch a flight here in just a few minutes. So we're going to take a few of these questions, send you on your way, and hope we can get you while you're in the car driving to the airport. Not to take advantage or anything. But anyway, this dear listener says, I clench my jaw in my sleep, which causes me to wake up with headaches. Could it be a jaw alignment issue? If so, who would I see to address it? Checking in from Arkansas.
Hello, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Definitely it can be a jaw alignment issue, and it can also be a stress issue. So if you are thinking about things before going to bed, that can influence dreams, which then cause the clenching. And then it can also be a digestive problem. So when people start getting a certain level of digestive compromise, then that can cause a change in their sleep patterns, which affects their ability to dream, and it'll even affect the quality of the dream. So Those are really the three areas, and then there's one more. Actually, it can actually be coming from the neck, too. There's a process called imbrication in the neck where if it's compressed a little bit too much, then it'll send a reflex that'll tighten the internal pterygoid muscles, the muscles of the jaw, and cause it to clench more at nighttime. So it's going to be one of those three areas. Now, the digestive component, you can look at that and work with that and see if there's any pain or in your abdomen when you push there, or you can see a chiropractor who does work in that area or a nutritionist that does work in that area. The dentist can definitely help with the jaw that's misplaced. Sometimes a chiropractor can as well. And sometimes the dentist has to, many times you need a mouth guard from the dentist first so you don't wreck the teeth more or make the jaw worse. Many, many times I've had to work with dentists to get that made for the patient until we can get them into a more stable state. As far as the neck stuff, that's the chiropractor component, like I said, or an osteopath can also generally take care of that.
Mm. Okay, so this one, let's see here. We've got, hang with me just one second here. We've got a little daughter. My daughter is 7, born with a cleft lip palate, and has had multiple surgeries. After her most recent surgery, she developed a bad case of eczema. I knew right away she was having digestive issues. After months of trying fatty acids and seeing no results, I've had her allergies and food sensitivities tests. Her results show many food allergies. My question is, could the antibiotic and painkiller she was on for her surgery have caused her leaky gut and food allergies? Also, her surgeon says to take her off her probiotic 2 weeks before surgery. Is that necessary?
Generally speaking, the antibiotics can potentially cause leaky gut. A lot of things can. You can get a concussion, and that can cause leaky gut. So there are a lot of variables there that can set that up. Not sure why the request for the probiotics for surgery. You'd have to talk to your surgeon. Generally, they want you off all nutrition that might lead to any thinning of the blood, things like that, so the surgery goes well. Generally speaking, it's up to your surgeon on that, so ask them that question specifically. I'm not sure why the request is being made for that in particular. The leaky gut is needs to be corrected to help with any eczema and ultimately help with the food reactants. So that becomes very, very important. But at this point, it is hard to say for sure if it was without any more information, if it was all antibiotic. But if you get a leaky gut panel and you get the actomycin IgG response, then it maybe was not the antibiotics, but the other two, it's hard to say as far as the testing that they do for leaky gut.
And so the eczema is connected, though, to the food allergies most likely?
Inflammation in the intestinal tract,
sure,
yeah. So
sure.
As long as that's what you want to focus on first and see if it cleans up.
Okay. Let's see here. Hang with me, friends. I've got so many. Okay. Have you treated patients with mast cell activation disorder?
Yes, very, very hard. Very, very difficult scenario.
What
very
is
difficult
that?
Case. So mast cells release histamine. So it's kind of like it can be different depending on which person comes in, the uniqueness of the individual. But you know how you have hives? So hives are histamine being released. So you'll be walking around and you get a triggering from anything. It can be from a physical action, and you get your mast cell releasing histamine. So there's a real, real significant problem with how your body manages histamine. So there is some genetic testing you can get done for this to see if you have a genetic predisposition to the histamine challenge. If you do, then that changes the whole course of the treatment. A lot of times we want to support the liver system and the immune system, and you have to avoid histamine foods. So that's one thing, a low histamine diet. Well, there's a whole list.
Okay.
So funny enough, it's fruit. So it's usually stuff like bananas, strawberries, and so you have to avoid the fruit, a lot of fruit that you think is healthy for you. That's why it's such a weird thing, because you think you're eating healthy, and then all of a sudden you break out in hives, or you have this itchiness that comes with it. So it's very, very challenging, and you have to there's a lot of trial and error here as far as what diet works. The low histamine diet works well, and then you have to really support the liver and the immune system with supplementation, but the problem is you react to the majority of the supplements that are out there. So it becomes very, very challenging to find the right supplements and the right diet that works for you to do this naturally.
Is this the same disorder when people, like, they may smell certain foods, certain scents, and they have this hyperreaction? Is that in the same family? Is it even a totally different thing?
Totally different.
Sorry. With 1 minute left. So what you're saying is they're totally different.
Yes. I believe there's no similarities there.
I'm so sorry. Once in a while, I ask a question that's not very intelligent. But, okay, what we're going to do here is take an early break so Doc can get out to his car and catch a flight. Dr. Troy, we so appreciate you. Thank you for the time.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll hope to get him on the phone here in just a little bit. We're pausing, but I'd love to know from you, what steps are you taking right now to improve your health? Let's talk about that. 877-933-2484. 877-93-FAITH or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. What steps are you taking to improve your health? Or at least, what steps do you want to take? Let's talk about that, too. We'll be back in a minute. Much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. It's been really a great show talking to Dr. Troy. We've had him in studio. We get him every month to answer your health and healing questions. So grateful for that. He's hopping in his car to drive to the airport. We're going to give him a couple of minutes, and we're going to see if we can get him on the phone to finish the show. You just never know when you're talking on the cell and driving, so we'll just give it a try. But as we wait for him to get just into his car, we've got a few email questions, and you can call if you want to just give this a shot. We'll see what happens, right? We're adventurous, 877-933-2484. But while we wait, I want to just tell you a quick story. So last week, he's already in his car. Okay, so let's give him a call. We'll give Kim a chance to call him. Last week, I traveled to Nashville to tape for a TV show. And you know this, if you listen off enough, I've had my share of battles health-wise, and I'm still just not 100% yet. I've got issues that I'm working through, and they're just days that I feel tired of it. If you deal with chronic health stuff, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm sitting around the table with all these people who would also be guests on the show, and each one of them are talking about just miracles, just amazing God breakthroughs. And I'm one by one listening to these stories, and just to sit around a table all at once and to hear so many stories like this that are like, no way, except for God. On one hand, I felt just for a moment a little bit discouraged because I'm waiting for my own massive breakthrough, believing for it, right? But then the very next moment, just feeling stirred up in faith, going, this is the God we know. And if you're not around those kind of stories very often, you lose a sense of expectancy. And I just wanted to share that with you just because he is a God of the impossible. We do have trouble in this world, but he still is the God of the impossible, and we can't please him without faith. So how about we err on the side of faith? We invite him into our impossible situations, and we just grab hold, and we just say, Lord, I'm going to keep asking, seeking, knocking. That's what you told me to do. And we don't dictate to him. He's not at our beck and call, but he loves our faith, and he loves our heart and our prayers. So I challenge you to hang in, hang on, do what you have to do to re-engage your faith. Okay, Dr. Troy, we have you on the phone.
I am here.
Yay. Boy, you're such a good friend. Okay. So, friends, you heard it. We've got him here. He's driving to the airport. The phone number is, if you got a question, 877-933-2484. So this listener emailed in and said, Dr. Troy, would you please give us advice on selling your blood for plasma? We have our son in college. He wants to do it for financial purposes. We think it's not right. We would like to know how God sees these kinds of things. What do you say, Doc?
Ooh, you know what? I don't know how God sees it. That's interesting that you say that, because I've actually had this question before, but I've not wrapped my mind around it. So all I can say is that the majority of people who do it eventually say they don't want to ever do it again, and they're not very. They just wouldn't follow up with it. However, from the medical side of it, I also know that there's a lot of good that it does. So I'm probably not the best to answer that because I haven't totally formed an opinion one way or the other on it because there's a bit of a controversy. But this question will make me dive into that a little bit more because this is the second time I've been asked that. Yeah.
And
so
you're a learner. I was going to say, you're a learner.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, one of my sons, when he was away at college and he did the plasma thing, what really bothered me was right next door to the plasma thing, a building rose up, and it was a company that tests pharmaceuticals on college students who are desperate for money. And I'm like, oh, that's where we draw the line. Because he said all these different friends are going in, and they're trying drugs on these kids who are having adverse reactions, and they're testing them. I'm like, how is that even okay? I can't even believe it, especially for kids who need money at college. Now, that's I feel like you can say flat out, that's just not right, right?
Yeah, I'm not for guinea pigging our college students at all.
Yeah,
That part of it, I'm absolutely with you on that.
Okay, so let's get Pat checking in. She's got a question for your group regarding heart issues. Hey, Pat, you're on the air with Dr. Troy, who's in his car driving to the airport.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your question today?
Hi, Pat.
Hi. I've had a history of heart disease, and 10 years ago I had a valve replaced, my aortic valve, and about a little over a year ago I got an infection which landed on that valve. It was a staph infection, and it got systemic. And during the course of problems with that, it also infected some of my other organs, including my kidneys. And they replaced the valve a second time and cleared up the infection, but I've still had problems with kidney function. And I'm wondering if I can ever get that function back to normal again.
Well, yeah, the kidneys are actually very challenging to get back to normal. The two biggest things with that history, when you get a staph spreading through like that, you want to keep working on improving your overall immune system. So doing all the things that help with your immune system. And that includes getting good sleep, drinking water, getting your antioxidants, exercising, and reducing stress as much as possible. As it relates directly to the kidney, there is actually quite a bit that you can do to help support the kidney. Consuming an alkaline diet helps. Drinking plenty of water helps. Methylated B vitamins are very supportive for the kidney. So methylcobalamin is a B12. Folic acid in the form of methyl tetrahydrofolate is very important. And then there are some botanicals that also work well with that. I use a product in our clinic called Renogen DTX, and we've had people that have been in stage 3 kidney disease, if you will, and failure as far as their lab results, and we've been able to get them back into stage 2 and stage 1. It takes a long time. Your diet is very, very important. You can't get away with a lot of the other inflammatory foods, and so it can be done. It's a strict diet with really, really good immune support and some of those vitamins I was just talking about for kidney function.
Pat, thank you so much for that call. I do pray God just heals you completely and gives you wisdom about next steps to take. This dear listener called in and said, just left the dentist, said her whole mouth is infected, will need to pull the teeth out. That doesn't make sense and is concerning. What should she do?
Well, I'm not a dentist, so I would say teeth infections, if they're there, can be very problematic for the rest of your body. So I know that. So I do work with very, very trustworthy dentists. And if you have a dentist that you trust and they find that there's infections there, I'm not a fan of root canals because we just don't want infections moving forward. So there is a lot that that infections can do negatively. And if you treat it naturally first, and it doesn't work, then you don't have any choice as far as getting them out, in my opinion. But if you haven't tried treating them naturally at all, then I am a fan of doing that. We have coconut pulling as far as oil pulling, changing the diet, can help. Taking an oral antibiotic is okay, even the natural ones like biocidin in the beginning, and then reestablishing the good bacteria and good dental hygiene. So I need more of a history to give definitive guidance on whether or not you have that. Getting a second opinion is always a good idea as well, just to make sure. But there are things you can do to help with infections. And we've had some of our patients go through a process where they've cleaned up their diet, changed some of their oral habits. Find a biological dentist, and they will help you with that. Mm-hmm. So in the Twin Cities here, I know that there's a couple of really good places. We've got Tooth by the Lake. It's just hard to get in there because they're so booked out. Tooth by the Lake and Cedar Cliff Dental are two areas where I trust the work that they do and love them. And I know there's many, many other ones because we've had conversations about this in the past with some of my colleagues. So.
And we've talked about the coconut pulling, so I imagine someone asking about that. Just a quick note, you buy organic oil, you swish it in your mouth for 10 minutes or so, maybe 15, and then you spit it out. You definitely don't swallow it. But maybe explain what happens when you're doing that, Dr. Troy, what that coconut oil does.
Well, there's actually antimicrobial factors to the coconut oil. So the coconut oil is actually killing off a lot of the bacteria itself. It's not very strong, but it's a mild form of it. And then other things like grapeseed extract is a very good antioxidant that really helps with gum health. So it depends on where the infection is. It depends on how severe it is. If you have a fever or you have any challenges as far as infection-related symptoms, then don't fool around with it, and you need to get it done right away. But if you have time to actually look at it naturally, taking the coconut oil can help quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And actually, the coconut oil will have a secondary anti-inflammatory effect, along with the grapeseed extract. And you'll see with grapeseed extract, the gums start to become nice and firm and pink. So if you bleed when you actually floss, then that's a sign of dysfunction already. You want to get to the point where you can floss without any bleeding and take care of your teeth as well as the gums.
So for the average person who's actually healthy, still that coconut oil pulling is a good idea to do once in a while, right?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It'll actually whiten your teeth, too.
Wow, fantastic. Okay, Jerry wants to know, I like this question, is there a natural way to get off Lipitor and keep the pipes clean?
Yes, there is. If there's a genetic component, then you are more prone to needing that type of treatment, meaning a statin or a natural statin. Red rice yeast extract is a natural statin. And so you can do that. I strongly encourage you to make sure you stick with the guidance of your doctor or a doctor who's used to using it, because it still is a statin, so it can still come with some of the side effects as the traditional statins, but that it is more natural. And we have used it successfully in the past with many patients who wish to get off or working with the doctors who wants their patients off of statins.
Wow, thanks for that one. This is from Sadia. She says, I'm having stomach pain and acid in my mouth regardless of what I eat. I have had a couple of endoscopy Bravo pH tests. Doctor said my acid is normal, that I'm not having acid reflux, that it's actually hypersensitivity. It's eroding the enamel of my teeth. I don't know what to do. I have chronic pain. I don't know if this has anything to do with it. Thank you for your help.
So very, very commonly, if your stomach acid is normal, the acid's in the stomach, but it also is, there's a valve component. So sometimes there's a timing mechanism problem where the acid's being released too far after the food's been there, or if the valve's not 100%, then when you lie back down, that's when you notice it. The most common cause of that is a functional hiatal hernia. That's where the stomach gets caught up on the diaphragm. And just like if you're to kind of squeeze a balloon and the opening of the balloon kind of pops open, the same thing happens with our stomach. And so sometimes it's just stuck on the diaphragm. And we can actually pull that down and start to see normal function occurring. The other side of that is sometimes the stomach becomes very reactive, and what your doctor's talking about with oversensitivity means the lining is becoming too thin. That can happen from consuming too much coffee, too much sugar, too much tomato sauce, funny enough, and too much alcohol. Those are the four things that generally can thin the lining even more and set that up. And then the last thing is a hidden infection called Helicobacter pylori. And it, most likely that's not the scenario this time. But I would pull those four foods out, the coffee, any alcohol, sugar, or tomato sauce, see if things improve. And if they don't, find someone locally who knows how to treat a functional hiatal hernia.
Wow, Doc, thanks for that. I think we have time for one more question before we send you off with a prayer. This is interesting. Anonymous question. Caller wants to know, why do believers experience insomnia?
Ooh, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Why do believers? Well, I would say it's because that we still have laws that we have to follow that God put in place. And so we can rest in Him, and we can actually feel better, and God can heal us at any moment in time, but many times that wouldn't serve us. So many of us still can't sleep. It's because there's something internally going on. And I also have – this is something else that happened to me. When I found Jesus and I started looking at the world differently – it actually caused more stress for myself. I started seeing through a different lens that there was good and evil. Before, I was blinded by the fact that I just thought everyone was out to do good. And you know, I didn't see what I didn't see. So sometimes when there is when there's so much sin and there's so much going against God's righteousness and you see it on a daily basis, that's a stressor that a lot of other people just don't have. They have a lot of the ignorance is bliss scenario. Mm. And so my two cents is we have an added dynamic where we experience sin in a different way, an enlightened version of seeing sin where we didn't see it before. And that extra stress causes us to seek God even more because we just became aware of our dysfunction.
Yeah.
So for believers, I think that's another whole level of it. That's a big part for me anyway.
In fact, maybe we should spend a good portion someday on sleep. I know that's what your next book is about, and because yeah. I know you've studied this research and you have a lot to say about the importance of sleep, but that is a perfect answer for right now. So we have to process what we see in such a different way. Well, let's pray that. Lord, I want to just thank you for Dr. Troy and his willingness to serve our listeners in such a wonderful way. Pray blessing on his travels, on his flight. Bring him back home to his family safe again. Thank you, God, that for every question there is an answer. And we pray for all of us that you give us wisdom to take the next steps towards health and healing so that we can show up at life with our best selves, Lord God. Give us wisdom for ourselves and for those who are around us so that we can walk in the fullness you have for us. We love you, Lord, and we say thank you. Thanks especially for Dr. Troy today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Doc, thank you. Safe travels, and we will catch you when you get back here next time.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who will keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.